Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Ah, motherhood. One minute, you're mom of the year.
I love you, Mommy.
Then the next? Not so much. From bath time to bullying, from potty training to puberty, parenting is full of challenges. But one thing is for certain, you are not alone. Welcome to Modern Mom Probs. I'm your host, author, mother, parenting expert, Tara Clark. Join me while we tackle today's modern mom problems.
Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Modern Mom Probs. I'm your host, Tara Clark. Today we're going to be talking about how to calm new mom anxiety with the power of the postpartum brain with Dr. Nicole Pensack. Dr. Nicole Pensack is a clinical psychologist, author, and researcher specializing in treating postpartum mental health, anxiety, OCD, and depression. Dr. Pensack serves on the expert review board for Parents Magazine, and she has a new book out called Rattled, How to Calm New Mom Anxiety with the Power of the Postpartum Brain. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tara. Thanks for having me back. I'm so excited to see you again.
I'm so excited to see you. I feel like we haven't spoken in a long time. We did an Instagram Live, like, I don't even know, 2 years ago, maybe? Yeah. How long ago was that?
It must have been around 2 years ago, maybe even a little more.
It may have been. That's wild. So you have a lot of new developments going on in your life.
Yes.
It's exciting stuff. So I want to hear about everything. We're going to talk about everything. But to get it started, I want to know more about you. You are a Harvard and a Yale trained psychologist who specializes in the postpartum brain. And you even gave a TED talk. I want to talk about that because, like, how amazing is that? So, Nikki, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a clinical psychologist and I have a private practice in Monmouth County. I'm also licensed in New York as well. And my specialty is working with adults and adolescents with anxiety, depression, OCD. But more recently, I've developed this specialization in postpartum, especially since COVID and being an expert in caregiver research, it seemed natural to translate all of my knowledge and academic research to the ultimate caregiver, moms. And I realized they need more resources now more than ever with the maternal mental health crisis and one in three moms experience postpartum. So I've really made that my mission for the past 4 years and specialized in working with moms postpartum.
I feel like you are like the expert on the postpartum brain.
Well, there are many. There are many, and there are lots of...
Well, I don't know them yet, so I know you, but that's okay.
I feel that I am both clinically an expert, but also a medium for a lot of the experts in the field that are doing amazing academic research, and I'm sort of translating the science to the layperson because that was my passion coming from academia and working in academic medical centers, the research was not getting to the people who needed it most. And so that's why I wrote the book Rattled, because I wanted to translate the science and get it to moms that need it most.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's one thing when there are fantastic medical professionals and researchers who are putting the hard work and getting published in, you know, the New England Journal. But it's another thing to have the average mom like myself, who's on the other side of that, who needs to have that research, needs to know what to do. And we need somebody like you to sort of be the go-between. And so thank you for the work you do. It's really, really valuable work.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I mean, I love it. I'm lucky. I consider myself very lucky to do this work. Yeah.
So like you mentioned, you have a new book out called Rattled, How to Calm New Mom Anxiety with the Power of the Postpartum Brain. Love that title. So what actually inspired you to write it?
Well, as I mentioned, my background in academia is in caregiver research. And then what actually inspired me was going through motherhood myself and realizing that there wasn't a lot of discussion before becoming a mom about what to prepare for as a mother, right? So everyone talks about the baby, right? And I felt like there were a lot of discussions around that. But then when I actually became a mother and went through my own postpartum journey twice, I realized we can do a better job preparing mothers to really not just survive this period, but thrive. And I hit rock bottom with my second experience having a kid. It was during COVID, and I went from rock bottom to thriving and being an expert in treating patients every day with postpartum. I just wanted to get the knowledge out there and share, you know, what the science tells us is really helpful for moms. And, you know, we're inundated with information, how to sort of tease that apart and what to take in.
Yeah. Information overload, especially for new moms, is a huge issue because you're catching it from so many different places. You're catching it from maybe friends and family. You're catching it from social media. You're catching it from Dr. Google. And there's just so much. And you say to yourself, where do I even begin to sort of purse through like all of this so that you could actually grab A, the most useful stuff, and B, the stuff that actually really works for you and your family?
Yes. And also as a society, we think of the maternal brain as this mommy brain, this derogatory term, this deficit. And I really want to empower mothers to understand the full picture of what happens to the maternal brain when you become a mother. And the transition to motherhood is so profound, both brain changes, biological changes, hormonal changes, but also identity changes. And how do you, you know, transition in that way and make the most of it, right? It doesn't get a lot of attention and it really needs to.
Yeah. So how does the brain change?
Well, I like to say that it reorganizes itself and fine-tunes itself, primes itself for all new learning and to give moms a leg up in caregiving. In layman's terms, I say it's like Marie Kondoing the mind. Like,
that's such mom. A good analogy.
I'm serious. That's what it does. It sheds useless neural networks, things that you won't need from a biological perspective, and really fine tunes itself to focus on the baby, right? And orient to keeping the baby safe and protect the baby. And everything sort of orients that way. And my thing is like, if your brain is already doing these neuroplastic changes and is in motion to take care of a baby, can we learn at the same time to take better care of ourselves and set up the mother for success, since it's already fine-tuned for learning? It's all new learning when you become a mother, right? So it's sort of primed, right, to take in new information and make the most of it. We need moms to take in information for themselves and integrate it as long with taking care of the baby.
Yeah, that's so true, because when you have a newborn, you are hyper-focused on the safety and the well-being of the child, to, unfortunately, many times your own detriment, right? You're not taking showers. You're not eating as well as you could be. You're clearly not sleeping as much as you need to be. And I think people have come to just say, oh, well, that's just the new normal. You have a baby now. You're a mom now. That's just the new normal. Like, you can't be doing both of what you're proposing there is learning how to take care of the baby while also learning how to take care of yourself. I think it's become sort of common knowledge that, like, no, it's one or the other at that point in time.
Of course. And I mean, you just said so much that I talk about in the book in terms of what biologically makes you a better mother and more attuned to the baby actually works against your mental health and makes you more vulnerable to postpartum depression and anxiety. And so I get into a little bit of the details of why that happens, but also how to protect yourself from that and help offset that process. And also to normalize the fact that it's not your fault if you get postpartum. Actually, your brain is doing a really good thing for the baby, right? You're hypervigilant, but when it goes too far, you know, you're so consumed with protecting the baby. The baby's safe, but you're the one suffering. And we can really help mothers in that space.
Yeah. I remember, I mean, this is years ago now, but when my son was born, I had postpartum anxiety, which I'm prone to anxiety as a baseline. So then obviously, you know, introduce him into my life. And it just really was so challenging because like the smallest little thing would just set me off. Or I was worried that he wasn't eating enough. I'll give you an example. So I had a hard time trying to breastfeed, but then we started breastfeeding and I was concerned that he wasn't getting enough food. So then we started pumping so that I could see it, so that I could quantitatively be like, okay, good, now he's eating. And then I would be nervous that the bottles weren't clean enough. And so like each thing sort of just like led into another. And then by the time he ended up being like 6 months old, he was on formula and I was pumping and he was nursing and we were doing all of the things, you know, at that time. But it's those little things that you sort of take for granted, like going into becoming a mother, like when you're pregnant, you don't know that stuff is going to start to unravel like that. People, at least where I was at that moment in time, you know, 10 years ago, we just simply weren't having those conversations. And I'm so glad we're having those conversations now. But like, I would have loved for someone to have said to me like, hey, Tara, like, just make sure that you're trying to keep your anxiety in check, you know, and that don't spiral because of, you know, the bottles being clean. And they were clean. It was just, you know, my own anxiety was just telling me like, oh, they're not clean enough. They're not sanitized enough. I have to sanitize this. Oh, I can't use plastic. You know, it was like all these things that were like rushing through your brain at the same time. And it's a lot.
It's so much. And I had a very similar story with that process as well. I was so anxious about how much my baby, she was a, you know, my first was 4 weeks early. And so the doctor told me I had to feed her every 3 hours, no matter what. And so breastfeeding comes with its own challenges. And because she was premature, she had jaundice and she was more lethargic. And so I had to try and keep her up while she was feeding. And so by the time I got through that whole process, it was time for the next feeding. And I was just, it was so anxiety provoking. And I really had to navigate that and think about, I started pumping as well, just because practically speaking, it was faster. I knew how much she was getting, but it was more work. And so, yeah, I totally understand that process. And I think that's common for moms, especially when, you know, when we like to know how much our babies are getting. That's like the first measure, right, of success, right? The baby's growing, right? And so feeding them is huge.
Yeah. And you're doing it on such little sleep, you know, and I could almost like still hear that pump noise in the back of my head, like that.
I hear it now that you say, I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about that noise in so long. It's coming like that.
I brought you right back to
right
it.
Right back. Yeah.
How did you personally start to come out of the fog? Like, how did you retrain your brain?
So one, I did exactly what I tell my patients to do. I set up my postpartum mental health care plan prior to having the baby, right? So I had all of the support in place for that. So I attended therapy with my first baby, with my daughter. It was more of a mild case of postpartum where I would just go to weekly therapy and sometimes more. And that kind of helped me come out of the anxiety, as well as have an objective person to think about the transition to motherhood, right? I'm a first-time mom. I'm trying to make sense of all of this. It's a lot. And so having that objective thought partner, I like to say, was really helpful for me. The second time I actually, it was right at the start of COVID and went through a maternal mental health crisis. I suffered from severe postpartum OCD. And I, you know, luckily I suffered mostly for 9 days of crisis. I didn't sleep for 5 days and I ended up taking medication and going to therapy. And within 9 days, I was experiencing relief. And so that's the importance of setting up your mental health care team. I had my psychiatrist on call. I had never thought about taking medication before, but in that crisis period, I was like, texting her. I was like, I need an appointment. I'm committed to taking medication. And she was able to write me a prescription that day. Right. And so when you're in that mindset, you don't want to have to scramble last minute to try to find a prescriber, to try and find a therapist. Right. So I had everything in place so that I could, you know, feel better as soon as possible. Now, we can't necessarily prevent the postpartum brain from doing its thing, right? Because some mothers are just more vulnerable. We have certain risk factors and whatnot. And because, you know, like you, I was predisposed to having anxiety before having kids. And then, you know, with each pregnancy, it tends to get worse. So we kind of know the risk factors. And in my head, I thought, you know, I was kind of like, it's not going to happen to me.
Not going to happen to me.
No, I treat this for a living. I'm immune, but I still followed the protocol and had it in place. And thank goodness I did, because I was able to come out of it. And then, you know, having the treatment do its thing, as well as I think COVID was a global trauma. I spoke about this in my TED Talk. I speak about this in the book. I actually feel like I experienced post-traumatic growth and came out even more resilient because of going through that trauma, hitting rock bottom and developing my own resiliency and taking advantage of all the resources available to me, as well as just the transition to motherhood and the strengths of the maternal brain plasticity and identity development and really digging deep into myself and reprioritizing things and taking care of myself. I mean, I really went from surviving to thriving. And so I wanted to share that process and also share the research that backs this up, right? So I have the perfect vision of hindsight, right? It's 2020. And so as I was like trying to understand, well, how did I get here? I mean, how was I, you know, in crisis and wondering who was going to take care of my babies? And then, you know, shortly thereafter, feeling my best, better than ever. And I kind of put the pieces together and saw this picture coming out in the research. And that's where Rattled came in.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze. And it felt a little like time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
This episode is brought to you by Modern Mom Style Box. Upgrade your wardrobe and enjoy unlimited styles for just $60 a month. Modern Mom Style Box is the first rental clothing subscription designed exclusively for moms and moms-to-be. Get started today with a free trial. Use promo code PTO.
That's awesome. That's awesome. My mind is swimming with so many different questions that I want to ask you. But like, obviously, it was more than just like going and taking a bubble bath, right? Like just not like just like lighting a candle and doing yoga for 15 minutes.
No, and you probably have experienced this, but when you become a mother, it pushes you, it challenges you to sort of rise to relentless physical challenge, emotional challenges, and really, you know, it's an opportunity to dig deep and figure out how to really take care of yourself, to figure out what you need. And I'm not talking about, you know, bubble baths, like you said, right? The sort of false self-care, right? That can help shift a mindset like in the moment. And it can help a little bit, but it's not the deep-rooted work that I talk about in my book and what I would recommend for my patients and for, you know, all women and mothers.
Yeah. So you have a TED Talk, which I think is so cool. Like you referred to it. Again, I want to talk about it. Like, how did that come about? Like, I watched it, obviously. Like, you look fantastic. You sound fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Tell everyone else that's listening right now a little bit about your TED Talk.
That was so exciting. It was sort of on the bucket list, right? And I saw this opportunity and I was accepted to give this TED Talk on the power of the maternal brain. And I just wanted to share my message and my story, but also it's sort of a movement, right? So I want to change the perspective of mom brain, but also the bottom line of the TED Talk was like, we need to incentivize and really see the power of the postpartum brain, of mother's brilliance, and we all can benefit as a society, as employers, right? And the more we nurture this process, the more we will reap the benefits. And when I say I talk about in my TED Talk how motherhood is sort of this natural employee development program, right? So you're learning how to be efficient, multitask, increased empathy, right? Mentalizing, anticipating others' needs. I mean, all of these amazing skills that we value in our employees, and companies will spend lots of money, 2 to 5% of salary funds towards employee enrichment programs, conferences, certifications. And I'm like, wait a minute. Mothers are actually doing this as they, rise to every relentless challenge with their children. And so it's really such a development program, but we need the process to go right. And that's where I really advocate for the solid postpartum mental health care planning and talk about post-traumatic growth, because birth trauma can occur in, I've seen statistics as high as, from 13% to 48% of moms.
Wow. Well, that's high.
Every mother, I feel like, has a story, right? I mean, I talk to my patients, I talk to my mom friends, I talk to the community, and everyone's got a story where something came up most moms. And it's not even that it has to be a really traumatic incident. I call motherhood a normative trauma. A wise mentor has called it that as well. It's like this complete upheaval of your brain, of your psyche, and it changes everything. And trauma does that, but it's normative, right? It's something that we, women, we experience when we become mothers.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm going back thinking about birth trauma. My mother still, and I'm 40 years old, she still tells the story about when I was born, because I was breech and she was in labor for 48 hours. And then ultimately I was like in emergency C-section, and she still tells the story about that all these years later, because the doctor came in, I guess they had knocked her out, with anesthesia. She came to a couple days later, like the next day or so, and they told her it was a girl, and she wanted a girl so desperately, so badly, that she didn't believe the doctor. So she I guess threw something at him. I don't know. She was like half out of her mind. So she always tells that story. So I feel like, yes, she had a traumatic birth.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. And I want to empower mothers that even if you do experience a traumatic birth, that you can come out on the other side and increased resiliency. Not that we want this to happen, but because it does happen, we have to acknowledge it. And how do we support mothers, nurture mothers through that process? Because when, the transition to motherhood can be amazing and, a brilliant opportunity for development, but we need it to go right. And that's what I say. I say, we don't need more perfect mothers, but we need a more perfect process and support system for mothers, for the process to be better.
Yeah. So how do we do that? How do we fix the process? How do we fix the system?
I know. Well, unfortunately, as a healthcare provider, I get really angry that it's just not standard of care or automatic for all new mothers to have a postpartum mental health care plan set up and have their follow-up appointments in place. The onus really does still fall on the mother to set that up ahead of time. So it's really, for me, sending that message until policy can change, until we have more support, financial and otherwise, for mothers postpartum. I'm really focusing on what mothers have control of in their daily lives. And while it is more responsibility, I say this to empower mothers, you know, set up your postpartum mental health care plan with a prescriber and therapist. Even if you don't think you will need it, make sure that they specialize in postpartum, because so many mothers go misdiagnosed. So many symptoms go missed. There's a culture of martyrdom in motherhood where providers will say, oh, this is just, you know, it's supposed to be like this. Well,
that's what I thought. Like when I had that anxiety when my son was born, I just sort of brushed it off and said, oh, well, this is what it's like to be a mother now. Like now I know what it feels to be like a mom, but that's not true. Like that was not the correct thinking.
Well, you know, and it can be true, right? But if you have a provider, a doctor that has that lens, they're going to assess you. And so I don't want mothers to feel like they have too much to do. I'm trying to take something off their plate here. Let the doctors do their jobs. All you have to do is show up to the appointment. And the one good thing that came from COVID is that we do have increased telehealth services. So, you know, luckily that's helpful for moms that are home. And so go to the appointments, let the doctors do their jobs. Don't try to self-diagnose. If you feel something's off, just go talk to someone and get assessed, and they can give you the feedback. They can tell you, if they are specialized in postpartum, what is typical, what we should expect, and when that goes into a realm of, okay, you may benefit from treatment. And I actually work with a lot of moms that are more high functioning. So it's hard because they, you know, oftentimes they come to me where their symptoms were missed, right? Because they're functioning really well. But if you scratch the surface, it's like, wow, this person has postpartum OCD and is obsessing and preoccupied, and it's causing them so much distress to be hypervigilant. And while there is a lot of that in just normal motherhood and tending to a dependent's need, there's still room to help mothers feel better. They don't have to suffer so much. And so that's what I want to educate moms on and empower them.
It's so important. I'm so glad we're having this conversation, Nick, because I wish that I had someone 10 years ago to be able to talk through all of that. And I don't want anyone to feel alone, or I don't want anyone to be like, oh, well, I guess this is just the way my brain works now, or this is just how my thoughts are. And it doesn't have to be that way.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, there's a ceiling effect, right? So it is a very challenging phase and it's really difficult, but I think mothers can suffer less.
Let's talk about partners too, because obviously
it's important.
Moms many times have partners and they need the support. So what's the best way to get our partners involved in this process?
Well, I would say that the most important thing is to protect mother's sleep at all costs. So what I like to counsel my patients on is setting up a sleep schedule ahead of time so that partners can get involved and take a shift at night, a block of time, right? And or another caregiver, right? So figuring that out, where mothers get, you know, a chunk of 4 to 5 hours, if they can, of protected time, especially earlier in the evening, tends to be more restorative sleep. So their partners can really be instrumental in helping out with that. Also having conversations ahead of time about division of labor within the household and being open to renegotiating that at different time points. So whether it's paired with the developmental phases of the kid, of the baby, or just when a mother realizes, or, you know, a partner realizes, this is not working the way I want it to. And to have that openness and the dialogue and assertive communication and trying to figure that out practically. Yeah, that can be really helpful.
It's super helpful. Super, super helpful. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question that I ask all of my guests, at least this season. I'm in season 3 now. So I always have instituted this. I know, it's crazy. I don't know. Time flies by so quickly. So, Nicole, what do you think is the biggest modern mom problem out there right now?
Well, as a clinical psychologist, I am going to say the maternal mental health crisis, where 1 in 3 mothers experience postpartum depression and anxiety, especially after COVID. And so to do the most good, to sort of influence the most mothers, I would say that keeping that in the forefront, right? So I think that by protecting mental health, we can do a lot. So that is sort of from my lens as a clinical psychologist, where the number one efforts should be. And I think that that will help, you know, with helping mothers adjust to motherhood and setting them up for success and also influence, you know, we know that it's very protective for the baby and for the developing children to have, you know, for the mothers and caregivers to have solid mental health. And so that's why I'm promoting that as like, this will do the most good. But from, you know, a mother, you know, I think information overload, I think perfectionism, I think social media plays a part. I mean, there's so many, you know, lack of financial resources or parental leave. I mean, there's so mothers have been, are just fighting so many battles. And so there's no shortage of difficulties that we have to overcome.
I agree 1,000%, which is why I'll probably end up having episodes for the next 1,000 years because there are so many things we need to talk about and, so much and work together on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know. It's sort of overwhelming when you think about it. Yeah.
I try not to think about it too much, but yes, but I always love to get everyone's perspectives because everyone's coming from a different place, like you said, as through the lens of a clinical psychologist. Yes, obviously maternal mental health would be number one. And I agree with you so much on that because a happy, safe mother leads to happy, safe children. And the research obviously is out there. You know this, is that the well-being of the mother has so much to do with the entire well-being and then ultimately like the outcome of the success of these children's lives. And so if we have to take care of the moms right from the beginning, just as much as we're taking care of the babies to predict and like I said, to sort of like see the long game, play the long game there for these children's lives all the way through.
100%. Yeah.
Nikki, tell everyone where we could find you.
So you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Nikki Pensack. Follow me to find out updates about Rattled and also for maternal mental health tips. I like to share a lot through that platform.
I love the title of the book, Rattled. How did you come up with that?
It was a joint effort, but I think we were trying to think of one word that would really capture that postpartum experience. And, you know, it was between a couple different one-word titles and Rattled really captured it the best. So, yeah. And it's obviously a play on words and whatnot. So.
Yeah. Oh, I just realized that.
You know, like a baby rattle.
No, I get it now. I was thinking about mental health. And so, you know, you're sort of perpetually in a state of being rattled when 100%. You have a newborn at home.
But it works for the baby rattle. Between rocked or rattled. But rattled really, really suits it. Yeah.
It really suits it even more than I thought initially.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh man, that is awesome. Everybody go out and pre-order Rattled. Nikki, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's always so fun to talk to you.
It's a blast.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Modern Mom Probs. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive in today's problem with me, your host, Tara Clark. Join me next time when I'll be interviewing another great guest and tackling another modern mom problem. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and a rating. As always, you could head over to Modern Mom Probs on Instagram and give me a follow, or check out my book, Modern Mom Probs, A Survival Guide for 21st Century Mothers, available online wherever books are sold. Well, that's it for today. See you next time, folks.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.